check. Hey! Have you guys seen Napoleon Dynamite? Do y'all know the very end where Kip is singing? He's like, I love technology, but not as much as you use it, right? So sometimes you just got to embrace it. You got to go with it. Hey, so this morning, we're wrapping up our series called Happily Ever After. And so kind of what we've done, and this is what I can use empirical data to prove that you guys like this drama, right? So we do all kinds of different series throughout the year, but once a year we do a series on relationships. And so we go back and we look at all the podcasts, and people listen to the relationship podcast at a rate of 3 times the amount of any other series that we do on any other topic. So you guys, this is just fodder, right? You just love it. You eat it up, I'm assuming. You're going to sit here? You're standing behind me stalking me, creep.
My mic won't reach.
Okay. All right, so what we're going to do today is we've got a panel of very intelligent people, much more intelligent than I am, and they're going to help us answer some questions off ask questions about relationships. So I will introduce them. On the end down here, we have the lovely Kristen Boney. Let's try that one more time. That was a very weak reception. On the end, we have the very lovely Kristen Boney. That's better. You can do whatever you want right here. We have Daniel Boney right here. Hey. And this is my lovely wife, Shelley Reed. Easy. Easy. And then I'm Chris. I'm the pastor here at Motion Church. Stop. Stop it, right? So I'll give you a little bit of background really quick. Daniel and Kristen, you guys have been married 10 years. 10 years. Is your mic on? Can we get a mic check? Mic check. Oh, well, that might help. Minor details.
All right.
Hey. Is your mic on? Oh, Daniel.
Singers, we turned them off. We didn't know.
And we always try to blame the sound guy for everything. Sorry, Katie.
Work now. Thanks, guys. Yeah.
All right, so Daniel and Kristen have been married for 10 years. They welcomed little baby Owen into the world. Was that December?
November.
November. Okay, so Owen is about 3 months now.
And you're 18 pounds. He's huge.
He takes after Daniel, clearly. Yep. And your life will never be the same, basically. Okay. So I thought it was interesting. I'm sure they've got some unique perspective on some of the questions that we'll be talking about, being married for 10 years and also just having a child. So, and this is my lovely wife, Shelley. Like I said, we've been married for 16 years in June.
On June 16th.
June 16th will be 16 years. Listen, don't even try to do the math. We got married when we were like 12, okay? It's just, it's confusing, I know. So we've been married for a long time. We've got 2 children, 14 and 11, and we have no idea what we're doing, but we're going to share what we don't know with you. So, well, Shelley actually is really good at this stuff. I'm kind of like, I don't know. It's kind of like, you ask a guy what they did today, like throughout the day, and they're like, it was good, right? And you ask a girl, and they give you all of these details on how things
work. It's like,
work.
Well, first of all.
All right, so let's dive right in. So if you look on the screen, we've got the opportunity for you to text in your questions. So if you have questions, text Motion Church to 22333. So these are relationship questions. If you're dating, if you're married, if you're looking, if you're single and ready to mingle, then church is where you need to be, because I mean, let's think about, we'll get there. So anyway, text Motion Church to 22333, and you'll enter in the session where you then can ask whatever question you would like. And the guys, don't worry, if you have stupid questions, they're not going to make it on the screen. Because we've worked with teenagers before. We know how to do this stuff. So the guys back there are vetting the questions, and if they're appropriate, then we'll put them up on the screen and try to answer your question to the best of our ability. So first question, we're going to get this thing started. Right. Is it okay for a Christian to date someone who is not a Christian?
Elephant in the room.
Hey, can we reposition? I can't see you guys. Can you like circle around? And
I'm on a leash.
Yeah.
Okay, just saying. I'm the only adult on this stage on a leash right now.
Well.
I mean, I understand.
Now
why.
You know how I feel in life.
Well, yours is a little shorter than this.
Got him!
I'm sorry.
Got him! It's getting hot.
Don't hate the player.
Welcome to marriage, people. So the question is, let me redirect here.
Should have been a comedian.
Yeah. That's like the first good comeback I can ever think of that you've had. And you just happen to do it in front of everybody. Fantastic. Is it okay for a Christian to date someone who is not a Christian? Daniel, I'm going to let you start this thing off.
All right, so a lot of this stuff, just off the bat, is not going to be in line with what is socially and culturally acceptable these days. So in the name of not having to balance everything we say, we're just going to get that off in the front of things, right?
Also, just to kind of clarify, some of this stuff will, you know, the Bible doesn't say everything about everything, and so some of it's left to interpretation. So some of this stuff will ultimately be our opinions coming from a place of, hey, man, we think this is biblical truth, or this stems from biblical truth, and we want what's best for you. Shelly and I, we were talking the other day about teaching people how to protect their marriage, because people just, a lot of people don't think about things, and they're not aware, and they end up in really awful situations. And so a lot of this is, it's opinion, but I think it's opinion coming from a place of, hey, we want what's best for you. We want you to have successful relationships.
All right, so I would say no, because, and there's kind of the go-to verse for this is, you know, the commandment to not be unequally yoked, right? And you can say that that refers to this or that or this, but it is specifically about Christians being yoked to non-Christians in marriage, I believe. And I also believe that if you're dating and you are a Christian, you should at least be looking towards marriage. That doesn't mean if you're dating, you've got to marry that person. But if you can't see yourself marrying that person, then you should get out of that relationship and move on. So having that, I guess, presupposition settled, I would say no, because if one is a Christian, one is not, and you end up getting married, it just doesn't work. I mean, financially, say if you're a Christian, you want to tithe. Well, you're giving 10% of whose money then? Because the non-Christian may not want to tithe, and nor should they be called to tithe. I mean, that's not something that is that's not like a worldwide commandment, right? That's a Christian commandment. Going to church, what do you do with your time, your energy, while you're dating sexually? Where are the guidelines? Where are the boundaries? All these sorts of things. So I don't see that it really works in a healthy way, but I guess there could be exceptions.
Why did you look at me? Because obviously I was a saint and Shelly was just a hellion. And no. So Shelly and I, we actually started dating when I was not saved. I was not a Christian. You want to tell the story? You tell the story.
I feel like I hate saying exceptions, though, like, you know, to the rule. However, there just are some.
Because everybody thinks they're the exception to the rule, right? And if that's the case,
you're
there aren't
rules. Okay, you're not. And you know if you are. But most of the time, it's a low percentage, you know? But when Chris and I met, you have to understand, it wasn't like, oh, I was just a Christian, and he wasn't. I was at the highest point spiritually in my life that I have to this day ever been. And he was at the lowest point spiritually that he had ever been. So it was truly a God thing when we came together. We weren't dating for not even a month before Chris came to church and got saved and totally just gave his life to the Lord. And so it was truly, it's not like we dated for a year and I prayed for him. No, that ain't gonna happen. Like, we talked very upfront about our beliefs and this is what I want for my life. And he was like, I'm just feeling so empty and all of these things. It's truly something that God put together. And I feel like you will know that instantly. And if the other person does not change and give their life to the Lord instantly, then it's just not meant to be.
That's good. Kristen, do you have any thoughts?
It said that you become like the five closest people that you're close to. And so why would you date someone who's not a Christian when you're like trying to become more like God? Why would you make that one of the most closest persons to you when you're not even on the same level? It's just going to bring you down.
That's good. Hey, well, so you brought up the verse about not being unequally yoked, and that was one of the questions. So what does that even mean, to not be unequally yoked?
I guess literally the yoke would be between two oxen, oxes, oxy, I don't know.
Oxen, oxen is the plural, I believe.
So obviously you'd go in just a lot of circles if there's one ox far stronger than the other, because if there's only a pair of them, then, well, the stronger one would win, and you see where that's going. So obviously you see the connection. I think that's an apt symbol for this whole thing. You're just not going to go in the same direction. Things are not going to work. I think that is why that is in there. Is that what you asked me?
Yep. Okay. That was it. Well, hey, do you want to share the insight about the yoke of the donkey and
the
oxen.
I heard the best thing, like, is, I guess you could call it a sermon, I don't really know, but they really broke down that verse and what it meant, and they went to the Greek and to the stories and all of these things, and there were certain oxen that if you hooked them together, they could plow a field for a little while. For a little while, it can work, okay? Am I preaching? This is an analogy, okay? For a little while, it will work. It will seem like it's working. We're plowing together. We're unequally yoked, but yeah, this is working. And we can do this, and it's going to be hard. And one of the oxen, literally, its breath. The thing coming out of it to make it live. The words, okay? These are the things I'm talking about in relationships that can kill you. The breath of the other oxen would literally put out poison. Put out poison. And it, sorry, these heels are real skinny. I should have wore wedges.
I see that.
Okay. Anyways, but it would truly put out poison until, and the other one would breathe it in slowly. Slowly would breathe in the poison coming out of this breath. And the reason its breath was poisoned was because of the certain grasses and leaves that it ate and the other one could not eat. And it would slowly but surely kill the strong ox that it was yoked to. So it will work for a little while, but you will die in the relationship. You will not get the plow field. You will not live the life that God has called you to live. You will not plow the rows and plant the seeds that God has called you to do, because you will die.
Dang!
It was way longer than that, but yeah. There's the gist of it.
That was the gist of it. All right, so I guess we probably should have given a disclaimer at the beginning. Some of this may be inappropriate for children of, you know, I don't know, whatever age you deem appropriate to talk about sex and stuff like that. But here's the other thing. If it's so inappropriate to talk about in church, then turn off your television. Okay, first question related to sexuality and whatnot is, what is an appropriate amount of intimacy before marriage? Easy questions. Go, Dan. I keep. Yeah. Daniel likes the easy questions, so I just pass them on to him.
I would say not much. Now, I am not saying that I lived that, but I'm just answering the question. I would say there's not much physical intimacy that is good before marriage. Because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if you're going to get married. Just because you plan on getting married doesn't mean you're going to get married. Stuff happens. And the Bible's clear about who you should be physically intimate with, and that is your spouse, exclusively. And I think we all understand, I'm going to speak for guys, but I don't think girls are that much different. Lust is not a small issue in your life when you're young and of marriage-seeking age. And it doesn't really get much better, probably. But, I mean, when you're that age, it's just not a good thing to be messing around with somebody who's not your wife, because you're going to end up doing some stuff you don't want to do if you're a Christian. I mean, you probably do want to do it, but you're going to do some stuff you shouldn't do. I'll say that. And that's the whole idea, right? You know you shouldn't, but you want to, so you're going to if you keep messing around. So I would say not much. And how much is enough is probably left up to the individuals, but that's going to be probably a pretty old-fashioned answer. I would say our grandparents probably did it right for the most part. I mean, hold their hands or something. But I don't know. I mean, really, you go much beyond that.
Yeah.
You're just asking for trouble.
Leave room for the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Just leave room for the Holy Spirit.
We had a friend who would, he did not kiss his girlfriend until they got engaged, just because he knew that he would want to go further and further, like, with every little step. And so he waited until they got engaged to even kiss. So some people don't even do that because they know they can't.
Because that's the thing. Here, if you'll be honest, and maybe not everyone was like this, but I've known enough people and I've known myself, when you're dating, you just push it, right? You start with the first kiss, and then you get a little more comfortable, and you do whatever the next step is, and you just keep pushing it, right? And you start numbing yourself, and that's the whole idea. You just can't do it. You shouldn't do it.
So if you don't want to slip, don't walk where it's slippery, right? Shelly, so just for the record, Shelly couldn't keep her hands off me when we were dating. So how?
For the record, I saved my virginity until I got married. And I'm very proud to say that. I'm very proud to look my daughter in the face and tell her that it can be done.
So that was a joke. Shelly just got real.
It makes me proud, okay? That is like a life goal. Doesn't matter what age we got married, but I waited until then.
So how would you answer the question? Like, I mean, what do you think is an appropriate amount of intimacy?
If your mother is in the room watching you, it's appropriate. If you are comfortable with your mother being in the room while you're doing whatever you're doing, then I would say it's appropriate.
Hang on, let's back that up. Some moms are idiots. Like, not moms that are here.
If your godly mother is in the room.
We heard it kind of set up like this one time. If you are comfortable with us projecting onto the screen at church on Sunday morning, then it's okay. Unless you're just weird. And
here's the thing. Is that what your relationship is really about? Like, is that person going to truly be upset at you if you say, hey, you know what? I really don't want to be physical. I want to wait and save that for my marriage. And they get upset at you, drop them. Because they are not concerned about your best and about keeping your life goals. They're just concerned about them.
That's good. Nailed it. All right. So here, this is a fun one. Do we have any questions up yet? You ready? All right. Here, we'll take one from the audience.
I love these.
Question number one. Burp, burp, burp. Should you compromise your passions and goals in life for someone? I'm going to answer that question. Not no, but heck no. Let me make some clarifications here. I think that the person that you're supposed to be with will support the goals that God has given you, the passions that God has placed inside of your heart. The person that you're with will ultimately lead you and lend their services to help you accomplish what it is that you feel like God has called you to accomplish, as you will help them to do. Shelly and I think, it's a great example. Like, this is something, starting this church is a passion that God placed in my heart. If Shelly was like, nah, I just don't want to do that. Like, you know how hard my life would be if I put all of this energy and all of the effort and the tension that we would have every single day because our passions don't align? Well, also, on the other hand, leading worship is one of her passions, and it's something that we were able to, just kind of in a unique situation and effort, allowed us to marry our passions and pursue them together. So I think the person that you're with, if they're not at least, at the very least, supportive, and probably even in a greater way, come alongside of you in some way and help you to see those passions come to pass, then I just don't think it's going to be good long term.
I would also say, though, you need to know that your passions and goals are in line with pursuing the kingdom of God. Because so many times our passions and goals are not things that matter eternally. And so if you're hung up on a passion and goal that is not matter in eternity, then maybe you should rethink your passions and goals.
For example, if your passions and goals are to make squillions of dollars and you'll sacrifice anything and everything in pursuit of that, then maybe you need to be redirected.
Yeah. Or just give it all to motion.
That's true. Daniel?
I'm going to take a certain, I don't know exactly who, like, you know, what you meant when you wrote this, whoever that was, but I would say yes to a certain extent. I think you guys were touching on this, and I think one of y'all specifically did it, but there are going to be times I think you do have to in a healthy relationship, yes. Now, I don't know necessarily what you mean by compromise, but any good relationship is full of compromise. I mean, you have to. Even your passions and your goals. I mean, say you're a very career-minded person. That is not a bad thing, but career is not number one. If you're single, it could be. You could very well make career number one, but as soon as you get married, career can no longer be number one. It should be number two or three, depending on if you have kids or whatever. But career could still be a passion and a goal, but I think you would absolutely have to compromise in the name of relationship, for sure. But at the same time, like you guys are saying, hopefully you marry somebody that is supportive of your career and gets your passion and your goal for that. And that's a specific example, but I would say, yeah, you not only should, but you will compromise passions and goals, but hopefully for the greater good.
That's good. All right, next question. What are some things to look for in a significant other? They got to be a dime. Listen, I'll tell you guys a really quick story. There's a friend of mine who's been coming to Motion, and we were in a group setting the other day with some people who don't come to Motion, and the guy walked up, and I was like, he would know. He's been coming to the church. He was like, man, let me tell you something. That church is full of dimes, $20 bills, y'all. And I was like, that's a compliment, I think, to all of the ladies in the house. You guys are attractive, apparently. Okay.
Is that the saying now? Is a dom an attractive person?
Yes. Okay. It's a 10, Daniel. A 10. A dom is 10 cents. 10. All right. 10 all right. out of 10.
I was not getting that one.
I keep Daniel culturally relevant.
I've not heard that one.
All right. So what are some characteristics or values, things to look for in a significant other? Kristen, you go first.
I know something that was really big for me was character. I had just come out of like a really bad phase in life, and I wanted to find someone who would really make me more like God and just be a godly man. But then at the same time, you need to find someone who is also fun, because when you come home from work every day, you don't necessarily care, oh, is he a godly man? You just want someone you can be yourself around, have fun on the weekend. So for me, it was character and just someone to just have fun with were my two main things.
Do you want to go? You go.
I'm just thinking, like, that's so important, Kristen. I totally agree. I think of Corinthians 13 when I think of this. Like, you want someone who can love you and who you can love, and then what is love, and to define that, which we've been going over in this series. But just someone who's patient, someone who's kind, someone who's loving, someone who doesn't hold a record of wrongs. Like, those are all really important things.
I would say trustworthiness would be the biggest one. Because you can overcome a lot of stuff, but if you don't trust each other, that's kind of the end of everything. I mean, I think sometimes we make things too complicated. Like, you know, if you get along with someone, like, you're going to have stuff that you disagree on, and they're going to have stuff that annoys the mess out of you. That's fine. Like, everyone annoys you to a certain extent. I'm not going to project that on y'all. Everyone will annoy me to a certain extent at some point. That's just life, right? And I suspect you guys are like that. But if you don't trust them, like, that's it. I mean, you can love them, you can like them, you can have fun on the weekend, you can all that sort of stuff. But you can always see it in the couple when they're always like, well, I don't know, man. I don't want you to go out with your friends because I don't trust what y'all are going to do. Like, if that's the issue, then it's just dumb, and whoever's at fault should leave, because that never gets better. I think that's a character issue.
Yeah, that's good. I think the one thing that I would say, I mean, obviously, I think the physical attraction needs to be there. But if that's number one, then you're really kind of missing the point, because that's what you do when you're in junior high.
A beauty fades, y'all.
Except for you.
No, it does. It just fades, you know. But those character, that never goes away. That someone who loves you, who cares for you, and you can trust, that never goes away.
And let me just kind of set it up for the guys real quick. So if somebody is outwardly attractive, the longer you're around them, if they're not inwardly attractive, they become extremely ugly to you. Like, you just start to see it. And so you need somebody who is inwardly beautiful and attractive, and they've got all of those qualities. But I think the number one quality for me is, I think it would have to be loyalty. I mean, I want somebody that I know is consistent, that I know, hey, man, whatever we face and whatever we go through, whatever circumstance comes our way, that we can get through it together. And I think that is huge, man, huge. Good. All right, next question. Should someone deal with pain from the past relationships before getting into a new relationship? Shelley.
Yes. Because if you don't, you know, they say, oh, it's a rebound, you know, but for real, you're just like rebounding from one feeling to another. You've got to take time to get through the pain. And you will find through the pain who you really are and what you really want and what you can overcome individually. It is so important to not take trust issues and all of these things that this last person did to you into the next relationship. It's unfair. It's unfair for the new person.
It is. And I think more than just a rebound, I think what you do is you add layers of kind of the lack of security and solve all of the trust issues, and you project all of that onto the next person. And that's what it's, like Shelley said, it's not fair, and it's incredibly frustrating to be that person, and you've done nothing wrong, and now you're being accused of X and doing all of this stuff. So it's, you need to deal with all of that stuff first. We heard a number, and this is probably different for every person, but for the length of time that you dated that person, half of that time is the amount of time that you should be single.
Yeah. They say half to twice that amount of time, depending on the relationship.
And how crazy they were, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, can we go back to the last question? I had a thought on that. If you're a guy and you're looking for, like, significant qualities in your significant other, if you're a guy, make sure they don't have crazy eyes.
Those people that stand too close to you, crazy eyes.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, to the other question.
My bad.
Okay. I'll just say I was a mess. Like high school, coming out of high school, I was a mess. And I had a lot of stuff I needed to deal with. So, yes, I would say deal with it by yourself with God before moving forward. I went to this program called Master's Commission, and it's going to sound crazy, but like we were not allowed to date for 9 months. And it wasn't even just not dating, but just like even not even trying to like talk to the guys. And it sounds so weird. But you guys, that was like the best year of my life. It was right after this messy season, and it was just me and God. And it gave me time to deal with the past, to become whole again, to not have to find worth in anybody else, but to find it in God alone. And so I would say yes, for sure. Deal with it yourself. Like, have some you and God time. Don't jump into a new relationship. And don't expect, like, your next boyfriend or your husband or your wife or your girlfriend to, like, fulfill your every need, because there's something that you need to have, like, with just you and God. And that makes all the difference. Yes.
That's good. Daniel, do you have any thoughts? All right, next question. What is the limit of forgiveness? Okay, that's a good question. That's a really good question. Let me clarify like this. Forgiveness is unlimited. Relationships are limited. Okay, you can forgive somebody and forget somebody. And I think there's a certain point at which it is absolutely okay to say, may the Lord bless you and keep you, but not split you as you walk out the door, right? Yep. That's just my two cents.
The limit of forgiveness, I'm trying to think of the person that would, this person that sent this question in apparently is in this right now. You know, they're like, gosh, I forgive.
Or they're just curious, Shelley.
Forgiven this person, and I'm just over it. And the Bible says 70 times 7. Like the disciples came to Jesus, how many times should we forgive my brother? I've already forgiven him 7 times. And he said, I would tell you 70 times 7 times. And some of you are doing the math right now. And that's okay.
And here, that is all, it's kind of metaphorical for, hey, it's an unlimited amount of times. Forgiveness is unlimited is what?
Forgiveness is unlimited. I guess it would depend on if you're married. I think if you're married and if you're dating, yes, you should still forgive that person. If you're married, you're just going to have to stick it out. And you're going to have to forgive that person a million times. You guys have to work through it and get that conflict resolution going on. Val, shameless plug. But I think it's so important. You got to forgive. That's just part of it. I forgive Chris for yesterday. He forgives me for this morning. Like, it doesn't matter. I mean, forgiveness is unlimited. It's unlimited. So I think I'd say if you're dating someone.
Okay, so where do you draw the line as far as
forget?
You forgive, but then you move on in a relationship. Where do you think you draw the line for that?
I don't think there is a line that applies to everyone. I don't think it's like the line. But I suspect if you're asking this question and if you're dating, I'd say move on. If you're married, that gets really tough. Because I truly believe God hates divorce. I don't think he hates divorcees, you know, but he hates divorce. It goes against everything that he is. He's one. He wants us to be one, all that sort of stuff. So I don't think God likes divorce at all. But Jesus himself talked about an instance where it is okay to do so. He's not saying, yeah, do it, it's awesome. But he said, you know, if there is unfaithfulness, you can divorce. And I think the logic of that makes sense. He wasn't encouraging it, but there's room for it. And if you're in that relationship and the other one is not faithful and they keep cheating or whatever you want to call it, forgiveness looks like different things. Spiritually, yeah, forgive them, move on. But at a certain point, you've got a life to live and you're a human being and you've got to move on. And moving on may mean you separate yourself from this person for good. You still forgive them, but forgiving doesn't mean you stay with them. Those are not the same thing by any means. You have to forgive, or you'll never get healthy. But that doesn't mean you got to stay with them for sure. Yeah.
You know, I heard a quote, and you guys have probably heard this. It says, "Not forgiving somebody is like you drinking poison and expecting it to harm the other person." Right? You're the one that's affected by unforgiveness, not them. But there's a quote in Romans chapter 12, or a verse in Romans chapter 12. It says, "If it's possible, as much as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." And I love the way it's like, hey, you do everything that you can do, and as much as possible for you to put effort into this and put the work into this relationship to make it work. But then there are going to be inevitably some situations that aren't going to work. Like, I think that there's wiggle room in that. And at that point, I think it's absolutely okay to kind of move to the forget part of the equation, move on from the relationship. All right, last question. Here, make it a good one. What is your advice on getting your significant other to church? They're Christian, but not interested in church. I'll go last.
I'll go. I don't necessarily have any advice on that. I've honestly never been in that scenario, but I've talked to a lot of people that are. And that's a tough one from what I've seen. And this is, again, just experiential or observational. But I don't... And again, this is anti-modern Christian culture, but I'm just not convinced Christian and not in church can exist. The church is the bride of Christ. And I don't know how you can be the bride of someone and not partake in what they're interested in.
Well, and just really quick, kind of clarify some terms. The word church in the Greek in the New Testament is the word ekklesia. And it's the definition of that word is a gathering to a called out place. Like it's a gathering of people who leave their homes and go to a specific place. And so it's funny, it's a really fascinating idea, but we've kind of morphed the word church. We stole it from a German word, and I think it was like Kirch or something like that, which is more, it's kind of stale, but it doesn't have the same feeling of, hey, we're all called out to this place, this gathering, where we leave our homes and we come together to corporately worship God. All of that to be said, the word church is over and over and over and over in the New Testament alongside of the word Christian. And so they kind of work together. They're not supposed to be exclusive, but they work together. And so I think as a Christian, you should be involved in church. And if you're, that's the thing, I heard a kind of a way to understand this. It's like, you know, I could probably get to Hawaii by swimming, but it'd be a lot easier to take a boat or an airplane. And I think that's kind of like, hey, our journey, we could get to heaven maybe by not going to church, but wouldn't it be a lot easier if we did it in community with all of these people who are on the same pursuit or have the same pursuits and same goals as us?
And I mean, I guess, and ultimately, the question is not asking why is church important, so I don't want to get on that.
My bad.
No, I started. I don't know that you can, really. I mean, maybe you could just, I guess you're just asking for advice, so my cheap advice would be do it in the name of marriage. Maybe they don't have to be interested in church, but they could do it because you're interested in church, and if they love you, they could do that for you. It's like an hour a week.
Yeah, and I feel like, too, you need to be Jesus at home. Yeah. Like, if you're going home and you're just nagging and nagging and nagging them about going to church, and then you get upset, and then you leave, and you're just acting like the devil, maybe they don't want to come to church with you. But I'm just thinking, like, be Jesus at home. And when they see that change, God will work in their heart, and he will. And you need to make sure that you pray and serve them like Jesus would serve them. And just, I think that God can do anything.
Absolutely. Kristen. All right. Hey, do you guys want to answer one more question? Is that cool? Let's talk about the elephant in the room. So how does pornography affect relationships, marriages? Because, man, this is the thing. If I was at a youth workers conference a few years back, and this is a youth leaders conference. These aren't just like kind of your average people that come to church. These are people who serve in the church, who are in ministry, and they did a poll. They polled the room of 3,000 people. How many of you have viewed pornography within the last month? And the answer was about 75% of the people in that room had struggled with pornography in the last month. So it's a real and prevalent issue. So let's just talk just for a moment about how that affects relationships. Do you have any thoughts, Daniel? I keep going to you first. I'm sorry.
I'm always trying to compile them. Because you go a long way with that. Obviously, it does affect. I'm trying to consolidate all this in my head. I saw an article this week, actually. I believe it was on CNN.com, CNN or Fox, one of the two for sure. And there's a recent psychological study that is coming out, and this is not Christian studies. This is just doctors doing what they do. And there's a train of thought going around that they think pornography may be the single most harmful thing in culture, emotionally and relationally, that exists right now. And I believe that. I mean, we can make it as complicated as we want, but it's just simple. Like, our culture is incredibly sex addicted. Sex sells stuff. Sex influences stuff. Sex determines what a lot of people watch on TV or spend their downtime doing. Why? I don't know. It's just, I mean, that's a big part of who we are as humans, right? But the perversion of that is I mean, it's just evil. I mean, evil is the only word for that. It turns something that is good and holy and sacred and a representation of what love is and what, you know, unity is and all this stuff, and it makes it filthy, really. Sex is not cheap. Sex is not free. It's not liberal. It's exclusive between two people and two people only. And when you go outside of those bounds, relationally, culturally, societally, things are destroyed. Foundations are destroyed. And I wish I knew why it worked like that. I don't. I hate saying that things are without a why, but it just is. And that's why I don't want to make it complicated, because I think we know this in our core. You can challenge it. Some people challenge it, like, no, it's art, man. I'm like, that's crap. That is not art. That is not art. And you know it. You know it if you viewed it. You're not like, oh, well, that's classy. Like, no, it's not. It's not any of that. You know, like, art is classy. Art is cultural. Art adds value. This just destroys. It makes objects out of people. I'll stop.
It just kills intimacy. It kills what's real. Like, what you're watching on the screen is not realistic. It kills relationships and marriages. I read this past week, actually, that pornography is sex trafficking is directly related to pornography. And sometimes when you're watching it, you're watching people who are in the sex trafficking industry. And so if you're watching it, you're kind of supporting that. And I know it's not like that simple, but it's just what I read, and that's what's real. And so it damages you, and it really does affect who you're in a relationship with. And then it affects all these girls also who may be in the sex trafficking industry.
But I think it really is that simple, Kristen. I really do. I mean, man, if we connected the stories, because that's the thing about it. Like, you're essentially escaping to a place of fantasy, and you don't want any reality. But the reality is, some of those people are there against their will. Some of those people have been brought into, it's slavery is what it is. And when you partake of it, you're essentially condoning it. You're complicit in their slavery. And that's wrong, man. God, that's wrong. I've got a 14-year-old daughter. And the thought that happens, people that are 14 years old or younger get brought into that industry and essentially held against their will. Oh, my God. Could you imagine? Like, make it personal. If you struggle with it, make it personal. If you've got a sister or somebody that you genuinely care about, imagine that they were taken and put into a situation like that, and how mad you would be if somebody else was complicit or condoned that. And then get out of it.
Yeah, I mean, I've had many conversations about this very thing with guys, and, like, that strikes a nerve with a lot of people. I mean, that's somebody's friggin' daughter. That's somebody's sister. Like, I mean, it's real. I mean, I know there's an exception to this, but generally speaking, that's not somebody who's really proud and loving what they're doing at that point. You know, I don't know. It's bad.
All right, just, you want to close with the way this affects intimacy. We had a conversation this weekend about that.
Yes, but I was going to say something else right before you said that. Oh, in front of people.
Yeah.
Okay, anyways, I'll share that story and then maybe it'll come back to me. But I had a friend, well, I won't say friend, a girl. She texted me this week, and she was just kind of asking about the adoption process and things. And she's like, well, you know, we've been dealing with my husband's pornography issue for a really long time, and we're never intimate. And so I'm just coming to the realization that I'm never going to be able to have a baby. And so I just, you know, just thinking of other venues to have a family. And I'm like, have you told him that? You know? But, like, she has. And he's just like, it's just this thing. Like, I can't get over it. And so, like, that's, like, stripping away, like, all of her childhood dreams. It's just, it's so sad to see it affect someone. But it does. Like, you think you're just doing it in the secret places of your house. Oh, remember what I was going to say? Yes. Love when that happens. You think, you know, it's like, you think it's just affecting you, but it's not just affecting you. It's affecting the future. It's affecting the future generation, maybe your future generation, like the child that you may have. Like, it's affecting it. And I love the Bible verse. Of course, these are ones that we don't like reading, that we don't like memorizing, because we want to forget that the Bible even says this. But it says, Jesus tells him, if your eyes are causing you to stumble, gouge them out. For it is better to go to heaven with no eyes than for the entire body to go to hell. If your hands, if you're messing and dabbling with drugs, if you're doing stuff that you shouldn't be, it is better, Jesus said, to go into heaven with no hands than for your entire body to burn in hell. So let's just put the eternal sticker on pornography. Let's put the eternal sticker on drugs and all of the things that we're facing. Gouge them out. Throw your phone in the trash. It's fine to not have one. Throw your TV, break your computer. You can find another way to do it. Set up accountability. Set up accountability if you can. If you won't set up accountability, you're a coward. And you know that you're going to fall into sin, and you're going to let yourself do it. Set up accountability or gouge out your eyes. We have some cool sunglasses these days. I think the Bible is very serious when it says it.
There are steps before eye gouging.
Daniel's always, Daniel, he's always the realist. He's always the...
But I agree. But, so the internet makes things pretty easy to see, correct?
Yeah.
And we've always got the internet in our pocket on our phones, right? There are phones that exist, and I've got one in my
pocket. Would you like to show us what these look like?
It looks kind of like yours. This is a $20 phone, brand new, and it does not get on the internet.
So we try to send Daniel pictures, and he's like, I can't get pictures, bro.
Yeah, no, it
he's
just
like,
says
can you email
like,
me at work?
It just shows like I need to download something that I'm like, I can't download it because I'm on the internet. So I just have to like reply with like, I don't know what you just sent me. But that, you can protect yourself. Like, the internet makes this incredibly hard. I think that's why it's so prevalent. You don't have to drive to like this dirty bookstore anymore, right? Like, that's how it used to be, right? Like, I remember the first time I saw pornography was, I almost said his name because you know him, a friend of ours in high school. But anyway, that would have been bad. It was actually in junior high, but I went to his house and he had some like Playboys he stole from his older brother under his bed. And that was like, holy cow, how'd you get that, you know? And now it's like, you have to try not to see these things. You don't have to have access to the internet everywhere you go. That is a possible way to live. And I'm being sarcastic right now, but a lot of people, and the younger you are, the more this is weird to you, humans can survive without constant access to the internet. I promise you. It'll burn a little bit at first, but like, you can do it. You don't have to have a computer at the house. You could just set one up in a public room. You don't have to have a laptop. You could get a desktop, I believe is what they're
called. A desktop, yes.
And you could put it...
They go on top of your desk.
I mean, you could put that on your dining room table, you know? Like, you could have your wife password protect it so only she can log you on. And you're like, well, that's dumb. I'm a man.
Well, there's also like, there's a lot of software. There's Covenant Eyes. There's XXX Church, which is accountability. So if you go to any site that's even questionable, it sends an alert or an email to somebody that you deem as your accountability partner. And here's the cool thing. If you disable it so that you can kind of, you know, look at things that are inappropriate, it also lets your accountability partner know, hey, they disabled this, so they can call you and be like, what's up, bro?
Yeah. And it's incredibly freeing. Like, even if I wanted to, I can't. Like, I just can't. I don't have a way to. And it doesn't cost me that much because my phone is still a phone. I can call and text, so I just can't send pictures. So if you're really struggling with stuff, there are really practical ways out of it. The temptation's still there, but then the temptation is incredibly weak because you can't follow up on it anyway.
That's good. All right, we need to wrap this thing up. Do you guys have any closing thoughts on just relationships in general? Anything you'd like to say? Shelly, I know you do.
Can you gouge out someone else's eyes for them?
Does I mean, you can.
Not legally.
No, I know, not legally. Okay, I just want to say one thing really quick because I know it's late and we go till 12 and you probably smell the fajitas from Posadas. But I just want to say really quick, Chris and I, we model this. Like, this is something that we, this is one way that we protect our marriage. And anyways, he has, it's XXX Church has it. You can go to their website. What's the website?
It's xxxchurch.com. And so the software is called X3 Watch.
It's completely free. And I'm Chris's accountability partner. And so every Wednesday morning, I get an email from that website with Chris's name on it. And it's like, Chris Reed's report. And it shows like, you know, it just shows everything. And sometimes I don't even open the email because there's no question in my mind because we just have a good marriage. It's always been that way. There are things that we struggle with, but pornography is not one of them. Thank God, because I know it is for a lot of people. but we still have this because we don't ever want there to be a problem. And I love getting that email. Something about being a woman and getting an email from your husband every Wednesday morning. Chris Reed has been to no questionable sites. That's what the email says every single Wednesday. And it makes me proud. It makes me be like, yeah, you know, like, I'm the only woman that my husband wants to be with. And it increases, like, the security feeling in a woman, and that is what a woman needs to feel that security.
Which increases the intimacy.
Yes.
Just going to throw that out there.
But I'm just saying, boys, they never grow up. They never grow up.
I didn't do it. I didn't do it.
You smiled. Anyway. But sign up for that. If you're not married, still sign up with a best friend, or you can do it under Chris and I. We'll be your accountability partner. I don't mind getting that email, and I don't mind calling you on it either. And he won't either. I know he's got a few of the guys to do it with him at the church. But it's so important. Get accountability.
That's good.
Get accountability.
Closing thoughts. All right, my only closing thought is this. Man, I know there are so many different things we could talk about, and we could spend way more time than we did. We're not going to do that to you. The bottom line is this. Relationships are incredibly, incredibly important. They matter. They matter to God, and our being successful in our relationships matter to God. But that also means we've got a lot of work to do on our ends. And I don't want us to buy into this idea that love is a fairy tale, right? That you're just going to meet somebody and live happily ever after. No, you're going to meet somebody and work forever after, right? And it's awesome, and it's worth it, and it's the most rewarding thing that you'll ever do is to invest in your relationships and see the fruit of that labor. So let me pray for us, and we'll give you guys some announcements and things you need to know. Father, we love you so much. God, thank you for this incredible opportunity to come together. God, just to learn about you, to learn about each other, to learn about how that relationship works, God, that as we grow closer to you, ultimately, God, we can grow closer to each other. God, we can love each other more. We can be more kind and patient and compassionate towards each other. God, I pray that you would help us to do that. God, if there's anybody in the room this morning, God, that's been struggling with some stuff, there are some things in their heart that they need, God, to get out. God, I pray that you would do that. You would give them the grace and the courage to overcome any situation that they face, so that they can be the best husband that they can be, they'd be the best wife that they can be, a fiance or whatever the case may be. God, I pray that as we leave this place, that you'll use us this week to make a difference in the community that you've placed us in. We love you, and it's in Jesus' incredible name we pray, and everybody said, amen.